for the song. Good, good stuff, good stuff. Well, it's good to have you here. I am, this morning I finished this whole series in early service. So I'm going to try to do it again. And so take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, that's where we started from. Yes, that's where we started from. And don't worry, don't fret. I'm not going to go around all over again. All right, but this is where we started from. Deuteronomy 30, verse number 9. And appreciate all everybody being here this morning. And good to have you. We've been talking about choosing life. And we won't go through all the passage here in Deuteronomy 28, 27, 28, 29. That leads up to this chapter 30. And it comes down, we'll read it here in a few moments. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. It actually says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. We're still living in a world that has, to be honest, been making some poor choices. And what happens in our life is really a matter of our choices. Almost entirely. I mentioned that last week. I know that some things come on us that we can't do anything about. But the fact is, if we would choose to walk with God, He may even head off some of those things we can't even do anything about that He can do something about. When we read about this, we got the drought going on and stuff. He says, I'll fix that. Well, I had a bad business experience. Well, I could have fixed that. Well, I didn't live, things just didn't, this, I just wasn't blessed in the city. He said, well, I could have fixed that. Well, I moved to the country, it wasn't any better. Well, I could have fixed that too. So many people live their life outside of the realm of God's blessing. And they don't have to. They can simply make some good choices. So Deuteronomy 30, verse 9, let me read for you here. And the Lord thy God, remember for those who are visiting with us, and maybe some of you haven't heard this yet, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that means Jehovah, Yahweh, the self-existing one, the God of the universe, the creator of everything. That God, not any of the other these fake gods. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Nothing has really changed in our country in the last few years here. In fact, things have only continued to get worse. And I think mostly it's because our country is trying to figure out how to fix the sin and the crime problem in our nation on our own without bringing God into the mix. And nothing is working, and crime problem in our nation is getting worse. There is a universal principle and an international solution. The Lord is in control of the whole world and not just the Jewish nation. In fact, he says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I don't know why we think we can bypass these principles. They're very clear in the Bible. He didn't write them down just for fun. He didn't put them down because he said, well, I have nothing else to say. Let me just come up with something here. Throw it in here. Sounds good. These are the principles of life. These are the principles of God. And why is it we think that we can bypass these things and still have God's blessing? Nothing is going to get better, but will only get worse as long as we think we can fix this on our own. We must humble ourselves before God, confess our sins, forsake our sins, and God will give us mercy. Until then, expect things to get worse in our country. And by the way, if your approach to your personal life is the same as our nation's approach to the national life, expect to see things in your personal life to get worse rather than better as well. These are the principles. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be a gloom and doom preacher. In fact, I'm trying to get you to have life. He wants to give us life. Jesus said, I came to get life and life more abundantly. Let me say one more thing. At times, it seems like the Lord is reprimanding and punishing us, the United States, even worse than some other long-term heathen nations. I think that is true, because to whom much is given, much is required. We should know better. The Lord has blessed the U.S. immensely, and then the U.S. turns its backs on him. Remember Moses was leading the children of Israel. They led him out of Egypt, lead him through the wilderness. And Moses was punished more severely than for hitting a rock than the Israelites for all kinds of sin because he should know better. You go back and read it. And America should know better. We're not a lost cause. People should say, well, why do we have all this crazy weather and all this crime in our cities and even out here in the country? And why do we have all this awful stuff and the fires and the floods? And why do we have so much of that? Why do we have it? Well, it's climate change. Well, why is climate changing? I mean, you have to admit, it's been getting hotter and so forth and so on. Well, we read that way back very beginning of the year. He says, I'll give you the rain when you need it at the early part, and then I'll give you a rain a little later at the end part. All I'm asking you is to obey me and do as I ask you to do. He said, pestilence. He says, the pestilence will come and hang on you if you don't do it. He said, you're going to be left to the world's curse if you do it on your own. Let me move on. Verse 11. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldst say, who shall go to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldst say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, America still knows the basics of what the Lord wants us to do, but we as a nation are refusing to follow it. And he's saying here, don't tell me you don't know what you're supposed to do. Listen, you all just didn't fall off a watermelon wagon last night. You know, I mean, you've been around a little bit. You know what God wants in your life. Now, what you got to do here is just do it. Well, I think somebody needs to bring a word from heaven. He already did. Yeah. And put it down in black and white. Well, you know, I understand, but I think the best one's is over in England, and then we don't have that. Yes, you have it right here. God has given us the Word of God. Our job is to live by it. Verse 15. See, this is God speaking. I've set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that, I command thee this day to love, look at this, to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed, or your children, and your children's children, may live. Now wait a minute. All this stuff that's been going on in the world here in the last couple of years, it just seems like one thing after another. God has laid before us life or death, blessing or cursing. It is our choice. Now you see, well, say, well, I'll take that. I'll take that. That's good. But you know how it works? You obey Him. You do your best to obey Him with all your heart. Not only will that spare you a lot of problems right there, but when He knows that you're seeking Him with all your heart, He will supersede a lot of the curse of this world, and you'll be able to live in this world without a lot of that mess. Listen, this is really not a multiple choice question. You've got good, you got life and blessing, or you've got death and cursing. You know, that's the way, you know, some folks get married, and you say, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for sickness and health, as long as we both shall live. That's not that's also not a multiple choice question. I'll take good, and I'll take health, and I'll take wealth, and got it. Okay. You know, no. You know how to make your marriage have the good choices of those options? Live like God has chosen us to live. Get so close to Him, you're living in the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, temperance, faith. It's pretty hard not to be able to live with a person like that. And if you're like that and your spouse is like that, it really isn't bad at all. In fact, it's quite sweet. Finally, he says in verse 20, well, let me go back to verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Heaven and earth, everybody's watching. Heaven, all of heaven and earth is watching you make this decision. They all know it. I call to heaven and earth record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, colon. See the two dots? There's a colon. We're not done talking. He's going to make some explanation here. That thou mayest, he's going to, in other words, in some explanation, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. I have often said that, this is going to sound terrible, this is very selfish of me, but Jad and I have been married for 41 years, and I hope I go first. I don't know if I could get along without her. I'm pretty helpless man. I have certain things I can do and certain things I don't do and I can't do. So, be honest with you, I cleave unto her, which is why, by the way, you're supposed to do. But he says that we should cleave unto Him, unto God, for He is thy life. In the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers. And notice he said, I want you to choose all, I want you to choose life and blessing and death, or instead of death and cursing. Why? Because that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice. Hang on to those two points. And today, our last message in this series, to choose life We must choose to love God above all others. To really choose life, we must choose to love God above all others. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Some wonderful principles here, simple principles. I think they're so simple, we miss them. Lord, help me to get these over conveyed to our people here this morning. May your Holy Spirit move and give each of us exactly what we need. And give me your words that I may speak them with your power. In Christ's name, amen. To choose life, again, we've got some visitors here, but so most everybody has heard this. To choose life, we must choose God. To choose God, we must choose Jesus, his son. To choose life, we must choose the wisdom of God. And of course, in order to choose wisdom, we must choose the instruction in God's righteousness and correction from God's word. And as we are enlightened by the truth, we must choose to walk in the light, even as he is the light, rather than in the darkness of this world's foolishness. Some folks have a problem doing that. And why is that? Why would someone choose to live under the curse rather than the blessings and the life of the Lord? Well, 2 Timothy 3:1 says this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." He says, you know how we get ourselves in these perilous times? How we get ourselves in these dark places? We get ourselves in all this trouble? We are loving ourselves more than we love God. We need to choose to love God more than we love ourselves. Remember, though, when we love God more than ourselves, you'd be surprised, but we will end up being loved more than if we concentrated on loving ourselves. Because when God loves you, it's like a love you never knew. Let me give you number one. First part sounds long here, but I'll boil it down for you in a minute. The main reason that we as a person, and we as a family, and we as a nation are not being blessed, but are seeing death and destruction all around us, is because we're not following the precepts and the statutes and the commands of God. Now watch me. We are not following the commands of God because we don't care what God thinks. And we don't care what God thinks because we do not love God. When I counsel couples, do you ever notice that couples can be very pleasant and kind to everybody in town, but they come home and rip off the head of their loved one? You know how that is? You know how it is? And a lot of times, I tell you why it is. Because we're expecting more out of that relationship. We're not expecting to have hard feelings or for them to give us a hard time or not let us do what we want to do or whatever. You got a real live relationship. And so it hurts more when someone you love doesn't agree with you or says you're wrong. You know, a guy out here in the street goes by and says, "Well, that's stupid. What'd you do that for?" And you say, "Well," and you move on. But you go home into the house and your spouse says, "Well, that was stupid. What'd you do that for?" And all of a sudden, it hurts all the way down to the core. And all of a sudden, we're just growing apart. Well, why are you growing apart? Because we're not spending time together. Why are you spending time together? Because I just don't like them right now, or they don't like me, or you know what I'm saying? He says, here's the way to have a good walk with God. love God. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if ye love me, now watch me, if ye love me, keep my commandments. There's a connection between loving and doing what pleases that one that you love. For instance, every once in a while, my wife will boil broccoli. Now, I can eat broccoli if it, for instance, is in a salad with a half an inch of salad dressing on top. Yeah. Or I can eat broccoli if it's been cooked until it is dead and limp, salt and peppered, a little garlic and cheese, about a quarter of an inch, and I could probably get that down. But every once in a while, she boils broccoli the way she likes it. She gets that stuff at the restaurant. She pays good money for broccoli, as now all they did was run it through the water. Yeah. Come on now. Preaching, aren't they? Preaching. But she'll do that. And you know what? I eat it. You know why? And there's only one reason. I love her. I don't want to say this was stupid. Well, I might say that with a smile on my face. But I'll eat it. But you know what she does? She was dreaming about this broccoli last night. And then she makes it and she looks at me. And I'm not necessarily saying anything. But apparently my eyes are, and the rest of me is, you know. And she said, oh, I'll get you some cheese. You know why she does that? Because she loves me. And she won't even put it on hers a lot of times. She doesn't want it on hers. She wants the primal taste of that. My wife says, we're having broccoli, boiled broccoli, for dinner. And if I love her, I'll eat it. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 22 says, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? He says, are you telling me that you're going to let us have a special relationship? It's even different than the rest of the world. How's that? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's, which sent me. So apparently, if we love the Lord, we will choose to walk in the light. Otherwise, he will not make his abode with us. And apparently, it means that we don't love him. That's what he just said. And yet, we were told all these things that we should do, and he'll give us life and blessing. And we don't do them, or we do something we're not supposed to, we're going to have death and cursing. And he says, I tell you what, here's what you need to do. You need to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. And you do that, not only do I abide with you, but you'll have my blessing and you'll have a life. Number two, loving God is foundational to our relationship with the Lord. Foundational to our relationship with the Lord. Matthew 22, 34. You're going to hear this basic principle several times here. Matthew 22, 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Interesting, you sang that song this morning. You know, help your neighbor. You might end up be helping yourself. Interesting. You wrote that one, didn't you? I thought you did. It doesn't sound like it was homemade. It's just that I knew, I never heard it before, and I thought that's one of his that he wrote. Mark 12:28 says this, And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, he says, The first of all, the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like. Namely, that this thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now, interesting, remember, this the first one was the Pharisees. This one says the scribes. And then we're going to have another one where it says a certain lawyer tempted him, saying, he said, well, oh, there's contradictions in the Bible. No. He said the same thing to several different groups of people. This is the primary thing of your life. This is the foundational principle. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind and soul and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. On these hang all the law and the prophets. That's what I've been trying to coerce you to do all these years. Now, many adults are still selfish little children. The real way for a child to show his love to his parents is by obeying them. But selfish little children expect their parents to provide for them, protect them, and care for them, and be their chauffeur, but they shouldn't have to obey their parents. And loving God doesn't mean you're trusting God to provide for you and protect you and take care of you. Some people think that loving God means you pray to God and ask for your needs to be met. I can't tell you how many people, you know, they've been coming to church for a while and so forth, and then they disappear, and I said, well, did you find another church? I mean, listen, people leave churches. They do. My goal is for you to know God. If you can't find him here, go someplace where you can find him. But I want you to know God. And they'll say, I'll see him out someplace. And I said, well, where'd you end up at? Well, we're not really going anywhere. But I pray. Oh. That's kind of like saying, I don't talk to my parents, but I do call them once in a while with my hand out. You're doing a big favor, letting them give you money. Well, they seemed happy to do it. I don't like it when they're happy. Oh, come on, you know better than that. They were happy to see you. If that's what it took to see you, we'll take it. But wouldn't it be nice if you showed up sometimes without having your hand out? God said, wouldn't it be nice if you just come to talk to us without your hand out? If loving God is foundational to our relationship with God, then thus obeying God must also be foundational for us. Because if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. If you don't obey God, you do not love him like you should. You think you can do both, but that is because you do not know what it means to love God. Matthew 6:24 says this, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon too. How do you look at things? Well, I really wanted to do so and so and so and so, but I'm a Christian. And Christians don't do that. So no, I'm not going to go. Or are you thinking this way? If I obey what he says, he'll give me life and blessing that supersedes the curse of this world. And you say, you make a specific choice. No, I'm not going there. I don't think the Lord would have me go there. So I'm sorry, you go, but I'm going to pass. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, God promises me his blessing. God promises me a longer life than I would have otherwise had, or a more abundant life than I would have otherwise had, not lost in the junk of this world. You can't love two wives with all your heart. But we're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all our heart. So the part of our heart that's supposed to be loving God, he needs to get all of it, not other things, to trust in one. Well, do you love me, dear? You know I love you. Well, why would you go? Well, I got a 6 o'clock tea. Not this kind. You know? We can't love God and the world at the same time. Number three. Don't try and change the definition of loving God. What does that mean? You say, well, I'm not going to change what I do, but I want to love God, and I want to be seen as loving God, so we'll just change the definition. It changed the definition of recession. You notice that? It changed the definition of a lot of things. You don't like what it says, we just change the definition of the word. Well, some people, again, they change the definition of loving God. Well, loving God is not necessarily a warm, fuzzy feeling, but it may give you a warm, fuzzy feeling. But some people say, I went to church and boy, I just had all this, I had all just washed over me and I just shivered. Well, good, I guess. Maybe you got a cold or something, I'm not sure, but that's okay. But some people do get that at the ball game. Some people get that when they're out on a date with their special someone. But if you love God, loving God is the action of obeying God, doing as God would have you to do. Luke 10:25, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. You know the story of the good Samaritan. The Samaritans didn't like the Jews, the Jews didn't like the Samaritans, but a Jew was wounded on the side of the road, and a Samaritan took care of him, took him to the inn, and said, here's some money to take care of him, and when I come back through, if he's raised up a tab on this here, he said, I'll pay for it. In other words, I'll pay for somebody that's actually my enemy. That's love. Well, fact is, loving God is not saying, here, God, bless me. I was out in the public and I said your name. And that was a curse word this time. Loving God is doing as He wants them to do. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Number four. The miracle-working power of God's grace is on those that truly love God. Let me say that again. The miracle-working power of God's grace is on those that truly love God. Ephesians 6:24 says, "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. So why I love God as much as the next fella? Well, I wouldn't brag on that. Because most of them don't know what it means to love God either. The implication is that those that do not truly love God sincerely are not going to have the extraordinary blessings of God. And loving God means we're going to obey Him. When we obey Him, then we have chosen life. Number five, to choose life, we must choose to love God over all others. Come on now. We've already read this. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot love both. I've already made that point. Number six. To choose to love God over all others, we must choose the straight and narrow way. I've heard that term before. We've talked about it the last few months. Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." When it says enter in at the straight gate, you got to realize that straight is spelled S-T-R. A-I-T. This is not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. G-H-T, straight, means that it's not crooked. It's straight. It's not crooked. And I guess you could think about that, but this word straight actually means restricted, like a straight jacket. He says, I want you to go through this straight gate and go down this little narrow way. Well, you're taking all the fun of life out of life. You're taking all the fun. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. But who am I walking with? Jesus. Now it is Jesus and me. For each tomorrow, through every heartache and every sorrow, I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend. And so to the end, it's Jesus and me. I'm coming. Well, that sounds like a lot of work, a lot of bother. I mean, look at these other people. They're walking down the road. They're just going, because wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. You mean, in other words, to love God is going to limit some things that I do. To love my wife Janet is going to limit some things that I do. Yeah. One of the things you might think is crazy, I don't ride in a car with a woman all by myself. Don't do it. Well, are you some kind of crazy man or something? I don't think I'd do anything. I just don't want to look like I would. I'm not going to go out and have lunch with some woman by myself. I'm not going to do it. For her sake. Sometimes I'm counseling and it goes a little late. Imagine I talk too long. What's the chances of that? And I'll give her a call and say, just so you know, here I am. This is what's going on. And I know you probably figured me to be back by about 8:30, but it's not going to happen. We're getting in the middle of something here that I feel like I need to finish up. It's happened. And I call her. Why? Because she's wondering where I am. Man, you're really whipped. I'm not whipped. I love my wife. And when I obey God, I'm not whipped. I'm smart enough to know where the blessings are. We must choose the straight gate and the narrow way. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way. Watch. Even if the straight gate, the one with all the rules and the commands and the statutes and the precepts that limits our options, that takes all the worldly fun out of life, and the narrow way of life didn't make life easier. What if it didn't make life easier? Though it does, often. Maybe it didn't save me from destruction. Though often it does. It would be worth walking the narrow way just so I could walk with Jesus as my companion in life. Even the wide gate and the broad way really did make the life full of pleasure of the world without causing us to perish in the curse of the world, it'd be worth avoiding the wide gate and the broad way just so I can walk through life with Jesus. The fact is, if we walk in the narrow way, not only will goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives, but then at the end we get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Recognize that, Psalm 23? Let me finish up. Let me ask you a question. After all that has been said this morning in the last several months, do you truly and sincerely, you're asking yourself this, do I truly and sincerely seek to obey the commands and the precepts and the statutes of God, or do I do so only when it is convenient or when I'm trying to get on the good side of God for some reason? That's like the guy, you know, the guy comes home and gives a wife a great big kiss and a big bouquet and a box of chocolates, and it's not Valentine's Day and it's not her birthday and it's not her anniversary. And she looks at him, she says, okay, what did you do? Huh? Is that when we decide we're going to obey God? Keep him off our back, he sees through all that mess. Do you truly and sincerely seek to obey the commands and the precepts? You know, we sing, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be true and have his and have riches untold. There's a lot of good words in there. I mean, can't think of them right now. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords to me today. You know it better than I do. Now live it. If we fully comprehend what the death of Jesus on the cross entailed, how merciful he was to die for us, you would love God just for that alone. The Lord doesn't want your empty platitudes, your token rituals, your condescending quote-unquote Christian service. The Lord wants our hearts. To choose life, we must choose God, for life is of God. And choosing God is more than lip service. If you have chosen God, it's because you love God and He has done for you. I was kind of disappointed. I got finished the message there, and another song came in my mind. I don't know what my other songs came in my mind this week. And I looked at a new hymn book there, and it's not in there. It's in our old hymn book. But for all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to love Him. And for His grace so rich and free, I never will cease to love Him. I never will cease to love Him, my Savior, my Savior. I never will cease to love Him. He's done so much for me. He gives me strength for every day. I never will cease to love Him. He leads and guides me all the way. I never will cease to love Him. I never will cease to love Him, my Savior, my Savior. I never will cease to love Him. He's done so much for me. To choose life, we must choose Jesus. To choose Jesus, we must choose to obey Him and His commands. You really will not start obeying the Lord with all your heart until you love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Choose to love God, which means you're going to choose to obey God. If you want to obey God, then you're going to want the wisdom of God. So you're going to choose the Word of God. You're going to choose to be instructed in righteousness by the Word of God. You're going to choose Jesus as your Savior. And all that choosing, you're choosing life. Listen, if you say, I have nothing to live for, I'm trying to be mean here, I have nothing to live for, then what you're telling me is you have not yet truly chosen Jesus. Because if you choose Jesus, you'll have a life to live.